difference for this afternoon's meditation, a desire to read from the third chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 3. My thought was just to read a few verses, but there's so much depth in this chapter that let's read the entire chapter, and we have much that we can take with us in just the reading of his word. Romans chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Immediately after creation, when God spoke the world into existence as we know it, or as we don't know it, actually, he spoke it into existence with there's innocency, no sin, everything is perfect. So no, we don't know that. But we can be brought back to the garden through Jesus Christ. But as we think of the garden and the transgression that took place, We think back on that and we think how foolish man was that they transgressed. They had it made, as we would say in today's language. They had it made in the garden. They had communion with God, their creator. And why? Why was sin so tempting to them that they actually were deceived, they willfully sinned, and they walked away from the creator who loved them and loved to have communion with them? And from that fall, we know that the curse came. We heard this morning of being separated from the tree of life because of God's mercy that he had towards man. He didn't want to see man die in his sin. And this is something that brought me to this chapter as we think about the morning, the message we received of the damnation of the wicked, which none of us want to think that we are one of those that we read of in the book of Revelation this morning. None of us want to think that I am going to be that person. All of us, no matter who we are, we think that we will escape that somehow. Through a future plan, through God's grace, his mercy, his oversight, or his making peace in effect with, it's okay, at least I know he did say that he had faith and so on, and yes, he's just weak, and so we expect God to lower his standards for us. And we come to expect it in some way. And it often is because of being deceived. It's often because of false prophets. It's often because of what we spoke about last Sunday. And how Jesus speaks that there are only two ways. And there are many that will come to him and say, but I have prophesied in thy name. I have done these things in thy name and so on. And Jesus will say the words that I never knew you, which will just sound like thunder upon those who expect to be saved. So what is our expectation, each one of us? And can we justify what we expect through the word? The verse that really struck me in this reading is how we are being justified by God. And so the verse that declares that God is just and he is the justifier of those of us. He says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. So there's a declaration being made that God is righteous and that God is just. So how can God be just? And it says the justifier of him that believeth on him. So, we have to consider ourselves. And the only way we can do this is to draw an analogy of a man who has to come to an understanding that he is spiritually, morally bankrupt. Bankruptcy is not something that any of us want or look forward to come to. And it's very difficult to come to that conclusion that I am bankrupt. That means that there is nothing in me that I can offer unto a just God. A God who does not compromise. He cannot compromise, or he is not God. He has to be holy. I know we've heard many times that the heavens are not ringing mercy, 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 or love, love, love. It's holy, holy, holy. God is holy. That cannot be in any way brought down. And so God's display of holiness is his law. That when his law is broken, and so we have to consider sin is not some pretty little term of, oh, it's just falling short of a mark. I fell short. That sounds not as grievous when I fell short. It's like, you know, you ran that race so hard, you gave it everything you had, and you fell into second place. It doesn't, you know, oh, good for you, pat on the back, good job, at least you tried. That's not what holiness and justice is. That's not what a just God demands. His law, when it is broken, that's sin. That breaking of that law must, because God is just, God is holy. He has established his law, and that law is based on his holiness, on the very character of who he is. Cannot be tampered with. It cannot be. And so that must be met with justice. So it's like, and we read in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, we read of the man who was in debt. He was in debt such a large amount. You know, and I've heard it explained many different ways, but sometimes it's described as the debt was that of the gross domestic product of the richest nation on earth. So that is trillions and trillions of dollars. There's no, how did that man ever fall into that debt to begin with? Well, that's the severity of the breaking of the law of God. It's a debt that is insurmountable. It's a debt that cannot be met. And he stands before the judge, before the debtor, and a payment is demanded. He cannot pay it. He cannot pay it. There's only one. There's nothing he can do. He can work his entire life. He'll never reach the settlement of that which must be paid. And so the only way, and if that debt would be forgiven, then that debt doesn't exist. So it's like a bank. When a bank gives you a statement, you have run up a credit card debt. You have a debt that you send your remittance. There is a remission for our sins. We have to understand what remission is. It's a payment that has been made. Our sins have been remitted. They've been paid for. They are gone. There has to be someone to step in. And that someone cannot be, for you and me, an ordinary man, because that ordinary man has the exact same debt that I have. There's no man on earth that has his debt is not as great, he can step in my place and die for me. No. There's no one that can come to pay my debt. No one has that means. Because it is an infinite God that has established this law, who is holy and just. And he cannot deviate from his law. And so that payment has to be made in order for the debt to be paid, the debt of our sin. And so that's how it was established in the eternal councils of old, by the triune God, that God himself, because man can't do it. So there's theories, there's false prophets who will preach and teach that Jesus is not God. Well, are you saying that a man stepped in for you? No, he couldn't. God had to pay the price, because it is an infinite debt that was paid by an infinite God. And in the person taking on flesh, God himself steps into, takes on our flesh so that he can pay the debt. So that what we read of this morning, of the destruction that would come upon. And what is that? And I love the expression that was made. It's terrifying to think, because that's exactly what hell is. It's the removal of God. God removes those walls that are holding back hell and destruction and the fury of the demons and the fire and the destruction that is rightfully belongs to every man. The only way of escape is through God. And it's through faith. It is the only way we can access this. So God, who is just, if he was just holy, he could not be a justifier. There's no way that God, that a holy God, being holy alone, that he can be a justifier. And there's no way that a justifier can overlook a debt. So you can't, so, you know, if you want to come before a judge and you think that you can plead mercy to him and you can say, you know, and you can even, when the judge walks in, you can be on your hands and knees with a mop and you can be mopping his marble floor and doing, you know, thinking that my good deed is going to satisfy the demands of the law that I have broken. And you think that you're going to satisfy that by appealing to his mercy, then he has to wipe out his law. And you might find that in a human judge. You might be able to pay him off. You might be able to do this and that. That's all corruption, things that take place in the heart of a man. God is just. He's holy. He can't do that. So what are you going to bring before him if you don't appeal to him with faith? When you have to come to the end of the road of yourself, you can't offer anything to God. And that is when you have to realize that you are broken. You have nothing to give. You have nothing to give. You can't appeal to him in any way. You've broken a law. There's one payment, and that is death. That's the payment. Destruction, eternally separated from his goodness. And so Jesus steps forth. Because God, the Bible tells us, is a God of love. That's the description of God. God is love. God is love. So that is how he, through his Son, to step in. And that is the only way when you are in bankruptcy court, that when you come before your debtor, that your debt can be paid. When another man steps in and says, I'll take care of his debt. I will pay it in full. And that's what Jesus did. But what it cost was Jesus going on the cross. Because he was the only one. An angel couldn't come. He wasn't a created being. Because angels are still finite beings. They're still finite. You can't have an angel pay for my sin. You can't have a man pay for my sin. Only God could. And he took on flesh so that he can. And he was under the full exactment of the law, so that he can be just and a justifier for you and me. And so we have to ask ourselves, we hear a message, we read the word, and what does it do for us? You know, this past week, the brother in closing read Jeremiah 23:23. He says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? He is a God that is close to you and me. Do you feel that? And don't answer that in some, oh yeah, you know, I feel his presence. Well, because it was immediately after Wednesday, I was speaking with a brother, and he shared with me that he was still rereading the psalm that we read on Sunday night, Psalm 138. And in that psalm, it says, " though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Okay, God knows the proud afar off. That means you're not close to him. If you think you're close to God and you have pride in your heart, you're deceived. The God who is near, he says, here that he is, he knoweth him. Well, how does he know him? Well, just like in Jeremiah 23:23, when you go to the next verse, he says, can any hide himself in secret places? Are you going to have pride in your heart and think you're going to hide? God knows you even from afar off. He says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said. The prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Is that who we listen to? Is that who we listen to when we say that, and when we so lightly demand God to come down from his lofty throne of holiness unto our level of righteousness, which is that of filthy rags, of which no man can be saved because we are spiritually and morally bankrupt. We have to know that. There's nothing we can do for him. And so we listen to the lies of the false prophets. He says, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, by the interpretations of these false prophets who write books and attractive books. And, oh, this is nice to hear. Did you hear it? Did you read this? And they become New York Times bestsellers very easily, quickly. The truths of God are not one that attract many, because the truths of God demand something from the heart. It demands repentance. And that is what we speak of here, that the only way that we can be justified, Paul establishes, that is through faith. And that faith can never come by itself. It must always be accompanied by repentance, as the Apostle Paul says. Faith towards God and repentance in Jesus Christ. That's how faith towards Jesus Christ and repentance towards God. I'm sorry. That has to come together. Because it is only through a repentant heart that God can see his son and me and you, brothers and sisters, clothed upon with his righteousness. Otherwise, me scrubbing the floor of the courthouse, hoping that the judge will look at me and say, he's trying. So I'm going to recognize that I have sin in my heart and in my life. And if it is not met by repentance, then I am making mockery of God. I am shaking a fist at him that demands him to accept me as I am. And that's when I'll say, but I prophesied in your name. I did this and this in your name. I've done these things. I don't know you. We are dealing, as it continues here in Jeremiah, it says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Go ahead and dream your dreams. He goes, and he that hath my word. Okay, so when you listen to someone speak, if it is not from the word, it's a lie from hell. No matter how sweet it might sound. He says, and he that hath my word. And you know, we always say many beautiful things about beautiful words being spoken. But the truth of the word, he goes, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What doth it profit a man that he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it profit you, my brother or my sister, if you lead 100 people to repentance and you yourself are cast out? Why would you be cast out? You did those things in his name. because you didn't meet the demands of his holiness through repentance. You made light of it and mockery of his holiness and his beauty. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire? God is a consuming fire, the apostle tells us. He says, my word is like a fire. He goes, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. We can be deceived very easily. You know why? Because our heart's not right. The only reason you and I can be deceived is because our heart wants deceit. Eve wasn't right in the garden. She wanted that fruit that God said you cannot have. It did not make sense to her. It doesn't make sense to the flesh of a man that he cannot enjoy whatever his eye sees, whatever his thoughts take him. I'm only hurting myself, and you don't realize that you're sinning against a holy and just God. You're not sinning against me, you're sinning against God. And so that is lost upon us. And we then think that we cheapen grace. We think that grace comes easily, and we misunderstand what grace even is. We don't realize that it is God himself who moves into your heart and mind, and that you and I, after our faith takes us through repentance, of which we cannot separate the two. You cannot separate the two. When we go through repentance and God cleanses us of our sin, he moves into us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We are then justified by a just God. That can only be met, dear ones, when we realize our bankruptcy, when we realize we can't go anymore, our faith has to take us to the most wondrous place, the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross, that's where God's justice, that's where God's love is met. In the person of his dear son and my redeemer, Jesus Christ. That is where God can be just and the justifier. On the cross for you and me. And Adam and Eve who were created and being brought into. After creation was already done, he made man. They were born into the Sabbath day, the day of rest, where God rested. And Adam and Eve were created into that time, into that rest. We, brothers and sisters, through faith, justified only by our faith, that fully leads us to repentance, to be accepted by him. It is only then, dear ones, that we can be brought into that Sabbath rest. Not reformed, as we heard recently, maybe it was Wednesday. Not reformed, not just modified, changed. Because a reformed man, a changed man, the world sees it over and over. Oh, he's changed so much. He gave up drinking. He gave up womanizing. He gave up this. He gave this up, but he doesn't know God. Only a repentant heart knows God. One who repents, he's broken. He has nothing to give. And he goes before the and Revelations that we read this morning, what that revealed is the day, we could say, when you and I close our eyes to this life and we stand before a holy and just God who gave you and me the means to come back to him. Why did he offer that? Because he loves you. But you know, I love to listen how God loves me. We learn that from the earliest day. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's a beauty. We have to know that because it is only his love that can bring me to him. But we can never make light of his holiness. That's where man transgresses, falls short, believes the prophets who dream dreams and write fancy books and write all these means through which you and I can still sin and be saved. Are you perfect? Am I perfect? No, but sin does not have a mastery over me. I come to my God in repentance every day. That's what Apostle Paul teaches. That's what he showed us, but with his own example. Jesus Christ never had to repent. Jesus Christ was perfect, the sinless. That's how he could become the Lamb of God. He was perfect. He was eternal. He didn't come into existence when he was born of a virgin. That's when he revealed himself to the world. And he pointed us all. He pointed us all so you and I can see who he is, who God is. What does it mean to be just, pure, holy in every thought and deed? And he says to you and me to give up ourselves. You know, any selfish thought is a transgression that must be met. It must be met by the justice of God. We could say, well, what happens if I die and if I'm in sin? Does that sin have the mastery over it? Is it a sin that you've been sinning for 5 years? Is it a sin that you keep on returning to over and over again? That sin has mastery over you. How can you expect to die in that sin and say, God will overlook me because of his son? He sees, well, then we have cheapened that intercessory, the one who steps in and said to the judge, I will pay his debt. What would you do to a man that steps in? You are condemned to slavery or death or whatever it might be, a debt that can never be paid. Well, we see in that story how man quickly forgets that debt. And that's what happens to a man who forgets that God is just, who forgets that God is holy. He quickly is that man as Jesus describes in Matthew. Now someone owed him a few dollars, and he grabs him by the throat and says, you're going to pay me. Demanding justice. How quickly we forget the debt that Jesus paid for us. And we don't have to use that exact scenario, but it's any time that we transgress and we don't think of it enough to repent that same day. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And we think it's okay to be angry for 5 weeks, 5 years, a lifetime. I'm justified. You could be justified by the flesh, and you will perish in that justification. But to be justified by God means you step out of that. You've repented of that. You didn't let the sun go down. You recognize that I am in the presence of a holy God. He is coming into the garden with me to commune with me. I can't face him like this. I must repent of my sin immediately. We can't say that it doesn't strike me. We can't live in sin for 5 years and never recognize it. We've come to that point through believing the dreams of the prophets who didn't prophesy the word of God. We've come to that. We've grown into that. And we've ignored the truths of God. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's a we've come to a conclusion. It can't be tampered with. You want to be justified, you know, Paul says, you can give your body to be burned. You can, and you know, sometimes have we ever, God forbid, if that was in our thoughts or minds, that I'm going to help somebody, there's a collection to be made, I'm going to help so that, ooh, you know, God's going to see this. God's going to see this. You know, you're on the floor scrubbing the marble so that God can see your good works. Look, Judge, look what I did. Forgive me for what I'm doing, for what I've done. He said, you can give your body to be burned. It means nothing. Everything that you have means nothing. You know why it means nothing? Because it's something you can do. God can't accept what you can do. God can't accept your $5 to pay $100 trillion of debt. Because that's exactly what it is. You can give your body to be burned. And it's like going to the United States and telling them, you got $40 trillion in debt. Here's $100. That'll wipe it clean. And you feel that it will. You're doing something. I'm going to do it. It's going to wipe it out. You feel. You're convinced. Why? Because you listen to lies. You feel that the flesh can give something. Your righteousness is filthy rags. It means nothing to a holy God. It is only through faith that He can justify you and me. When we repent towards God, we recognize our failures, we repent, and we are made. That is when the debt is forgiven. That is when we're paid in full. There's never a debtor that comes looking for you when you've paid the debt in full. You pay off your mortgage. You don't get a statement the next month. It's stamped. It's paid in full. When we come to God in faith, through repentance, through faith, when we come in God in repentance, through faith, dear ones, He looks at His Son on the cross, and our debt is paid in full. And that is the beauty of that verse. He who is just is also a justifier. God in His holiness, God in His love, come together on the cross. Brothers and sisters and friends alike, all of us, where are we going to be found when the walls of the protection of God's goodness, His very presence, His presence is everywhere. Everywhere you look, His presence is there. Don't ever walk somewhere and think that God is not here. God is everywhere. Because wherever there is life, wherever there is sustenance of any kind, it's God that is doing it. It's Him who is doing it. There's goodness. His goodness is everywhere. And so, if we are going to relish in His goodness, it must be only through faith that takes us to repentance. Otherwise, when that goodness is removed, when He removes His presence, that's hell. That's destruction. And that's eternal. And then we have an eternity to regret our anger, our pride, our selfish thoughts, motives, everything. Fill in the blanks. You know what it is for you, and I know what it is for me. We all know that. What is hard to repent of? You know why it's hard? Because God is afar off. Why? Because there's pride in your heart. There's pride in our heart if it's hard for us to repent. Because I want to satisfy me. God, I'm first. That's pride. The cross is repulsive. Repentance is repulsive. It's demanding. So my prayer this afternoon, dear ones, for all of us, that when we do proclaim the word, all of us are preachers, in essence. All of us. We always are going out and portraying or showing Jesus Christ. Or are we? And if we admit that we're not, what will we do today? Today, not tomorrow, today. What will we do? If it doesn't bring us to repentance, then we've shaken a fist at God and said, we're going to do it my way. You will have to come down from your lofty throne and meet me in the mud. And we can be deceived to believe that he will until he says, I never knew you. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.